And now, Marion McPartland with a classic program from our 1996 archives.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guests today on Piano Jazz are composer-pianist Carla Bley and bassist-composer Steve Swallow. And they're two of the most exciting and innovative musicians I know. They keep winning numerous awards and playing and recording all over the world and writing new music all the time. Now, I could go on, but I think it's better I should let you both talk about your music and your lives. Carla and Steve, it's great to see you both.
Yeah, it's great for us too, Marion. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Carla, you've got the most interesting record covers, and then what's inside is fabulous.
Thank you.
Enjoying your music.
Well, we've been enjoying your show. We listen every Sunday night except in football season.
Oh, well, I guess that's okay. I guess that's okay. You know, if Jimmy, my husband, were around, he'd be doing that too. Nothing would keep him from watching football, so I can understand that. Well, you've done so much with your lives so far and more to go. I really don't know where to begin. What with all your compositions, both of you, and playing and recording. Maybe, Carla, I should start with you a little bit because I was reading your background and fascinating. Oakland, California.
A lot of good musicians have come from Oakland. A lot at the time, I thought San Francisco was the only decent city to be from on the West Coast, so I would say I was from San Francisco. But then later, Oakland became quite famous, and we had Hell's Angels and Black Panthers, and what else did we have? I forget.
I think that's about it.
Well, you've had a lot, but you know, it's fascinating to me. I read that your father was a minister, that, you know, your life as a youngster was music and religion, and I sort of got the feeling that maybe you rebelled early on and went off and became a roller skating champ.
I rebelled when I was 12.
Well, that's sort of getting to, that's when you started roller skating, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. I think that's wonderful, from roller skating to playing piano in bars.
Yeah.
It all sounds so glamorous.
Well, you know, the rink was close to the house. If it had been a bowling alley, I suppose I would have become a bowler for a few years. It was the neighborhood thing to do.
Well, but then how did you get into playing music?
My father was a piano teacher, and I've been playing since I was about 3 years old. It just came with the territory. I got free lessons.
But then the writing, I guess, what happened? Did you come to New York?
No, I started writing when I was about 5.
Really?
But it was just because I had seen music that I had to study and play during my piano lessons, and I thought, why couldn't I do that? Who did that? Somebody did that. So I took a piece of blank manuscript paper, and I covered it with little black dots, and I gave it to my father at the next lesson. He said, that's too many dots. So I erased half of them, and that's how I started.
That's fantastic, because some of your music is so, I want to say far out. I'm trying to think of a better word. It's so interesting and different that you almost think that sometimes you just did put abstract dots on a page and play them.
And then take half of them away. Very important.
Well, before we go any further, it would really be fun to hear the two of you do one of the newer pieces. You've got something very new.
We have our newest duet. It wasn't written this year. It was written about 15 years ago, but it's just been arranged for Steve and I to play as an opener for all of our concerts next year. And we will premiere it right here on the show. And that's... cross our fingers while playing.
Well, that's going to make for an interesting effect.
Yes, it will.
It should, indeed.
The name of the piece is Major. Thank you.
long have you two been together? It's quite a few years now, isn't it?
Going on 10. Or did we just pass 10? I
think it's been 35, 10. Steve. What do you mean 10?
What she said. Yeah.
But you've done so much together, so much wonderful.
We met
writing.
35 years ago when he was a young student at Yale, and he quit school the day after he met me and became a musician. I feel a little bit responsible. And then we both married someone else and had children and then got back together about 10 years ago.
So that's how it all happened.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was thinking somewhere along the line, I must have met you, all the things you did. You were at the jazz gallery and you were a camera girl at Birdland.
Yeah, and I was a rabbit girl at Birdland. I mean, carrying stuffed animals, trying to sell them.
Oh, rabbit girl. Oh, right, they had a tray.
Yeah,
for the tourists carrying
stuff.
Oh, because I was in there constantly, and I must have met you. And then Steve and I met, I don't remember exactly, but when I was still at the Hickory House in the 50s. In fact, didn't you work there with me a little while at the Hickory House?
Yes, very
with
briefly.
Pete LaRocca?
Yep.
And
we
then
did,
we went
indeed.
To Columbus, Ohio. And... You know, Carla, I've always known Steve as a very funny guy, and I just keep thinking of, I mean, funny, humorous. I keep, not funny, weird, or maybe he's that too, I don't know.
They go hand in hand.
But we were in some Midwestern town, I guess maybe Indianapolis or somewhere, and it was snowing. It was very slippery, and he guided me chivalrously across a big street, and I said, oh, Thank you very much, Steve, for helping. And he says, well, I must help you. You're my meal ticket, you know.
I remember. That was not a joke.
No, I know. I should have had you around in recent years with slipping and sliding all over the place. Well, I don't know where to go from one to the other of you. Maybe the answer to this is to have you both play another of your things. So what can you come up with?
Well, here's something I wrote for Sonny Rollins 20 years ago. He never played it, so we're playing it instead.
What's it called?
King Corn.
Okay. Get into more of your music, Carla, and some of your ideas for songs and the titles are so unusual. Now, where did you ever decide to write a tune called Ida Lupino? What gave rise to that?
I think it was that at that point I was writing very difficult avant-garde music, and all of a sudden this sweet melody came out. And it was a little corny and yet beautiful. And it just reminded me of Ida Lupino, the movie actress, who always was a little bit different. Wasn't the normal Hollywood star, a little darker, a little different. So I called it Ida Lupino. That's all I can remember.
I remember when you put this quite a long time ago, because I remember hearing the tune and thinking to myself, that's really wild. And I'm thinking to myself, is it like her? Is it a takeoff on her? And that's what you actually were thinking about her.
I think so, but maybe not during the writing of it, maybe just afterward.
Well, let's play it.
Okay.
nobody could accuse you of writing like a girl. I mean, you can. I mean, I probably have more trouble with that than you would as a writer. People saying, "Oh, you play good for a woman," or "You sound just like a man." But you, in your writing, I mean, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah, you can correct your image.
You can correct your image. I love that. Or you can correct it or change it or do anything you want. Well, you know, I've had so much fun with you guys. It's Carla, just wonderful to meet you, and Steve, to be hanging out with you again after all these years. It's lovely.
Me too, Marion. This has been great. Thanks.
It has been. I was worried, and now I think that was silly.
It was. It was really silly. You know, Carla, he wrote me a nice letter and said you thought that this tune, Ad Infinitum, would make a good tune to include in the show. And I'm glad you did, because it's sort of interesting, and I would love to play it with both of you guys.
Well, I chose it because it's in 3-4, and there are three of us. So it was easier for me to figure as a trio than pieces in 4-4, which should be quartets.
Played by quartets, of course. Everybody knows that.
Very logical, I must say. But also, it's sort of a good thought to end the show with, because it's like the tune is called Ad Infinitum, and although we're ending, in a way we're not ending, because the thoughts about the show and things we'll do in the future are still going on. At least that's the way I'm thinking of it.
Me too.
All right, let's play Ad Infinitum.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.